There's a running, they're seeing the bull catching up to them. And one of them says to the other one, John, you got to pray. He says, I don't know how to pray. You got to pray. I've never said a prayer out loud. I don't know how to. He says, you got to pray something. He says, I'll pray the only prayer I know. Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. There's another story. A story about her mum and her two little kids. And it's a cold winter's night. They've got nothing. And she goes downstairs. And downstairs in the cellar, there's a door. And she takes the door off, brings it up. And as the kids and her are on this mattress with a couple of small blankets, they put the cellar door next to her to stop a bit of the breeze and to help it to stay a little bit warmer. And the little girl turns to her and says, Mother, what do those poor children do who do not have a cellar door to put in front of them? Are we thankful? And what are we thankful for? When are we thankful? Are we thankful at all times, or are we only thankful when good things happen? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. So are they just fancy words? It's a theme through the whole Bible. God says, be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for who God is. Be thankful. I want to have a quick look at Daniel in Daniel 6. What had happened is that Daniel was trying to do his best to worship God, and there were all these others who were anti-Daniel. And so they passed an edict. And the edict was that if anyone worshipped any god before the king, then that person would be thrown to the lion's den. So that edict went out. And as that edict went out, Daniel knew about that edict. He knew what the consequences were. He wasn't going to bow down before the king. He was bowed down before his god. So what did Daniel do? Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Knowing that he was being set up, knowing that people were watching him, in full view of everyone, he knelt down and cried out for help. He knelt down and he thanked God. In all circumstances. Daniel, knowing what was coming, and we know what came. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. We know that. He knelt down and he thanked God. Being persecuted, being hunted, being tracked, knowing full well what was going on, he thanked God. We're called to thank God. God tells us to be thankful, to be grateful. Not just in the good times, but in the difficult times as well. That's what God's saying. Is that what our society says? There's another story of another little boy, and he's shopping with mum, and he's going through a fruit shop, and the man with the fruit shop sees him, and he gives him an orange. And little boy's, oh. And mum says, what do you say to the nice man? And the little boy looks at the orange, and looks at the boy, and looks at the man, and gives him the orange and says, peel it. That's the way of our society. Our society is we want more. We demand more. We haven't got enough. And that stands in the opposite of what God's telling us. But that's what our society is saying. And there's a reason for that. Because what happens when we're grateful? What happens when we have thanks? Questions have been raised. Is an attitude of gratitude really good for humanity? Does it represent our best interests? Or is it perhaps something foisted upon us to weaken and control us? How can one honour, respect and advance oneself while crediting everything to an outside influence or source? Doesn't thankfulness then inhabit our own sense of self-worth, self-esteem, confidence and ambition? Does not that in turn unnecessarily restrain and limit the potential achievements of both the individual and the collective humanity? Self-proclaimed atheist Christopher Hitchens describes Christians as people who are condemned to live in this posture of gratitude, permanent gratitude, to an unalterable dictatorship in whose installation we had no say. What he's saying is that having gratitude, being thankful, puts someone in front of us and it denies us our freedom. What he's saying is that we are being caught up by the institution. We as Christians are being caught up by God. We're being controlled by God so that he can get on. But it stops humanity from the best of what humanity is. This is what evolutionary theory is. Evolutionary theory is about survival of the fittest. Whoever is strongest, whoever is the most self-confident, who is the most capable. It's all about me. And if I walk around saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, I'm putting myself underneath someone. So our society is saying, if it's all about me, stop saying thanks. Stop having gratitude for someone else who's taking the claim of what you've done. Consumerism, which is such a factor of our society, is saying it's about me, it's about what I achieve, it's about what I gain, it's about what I have. It's not about being grateful, it's about me and myself. And that stands opposed to who God's calling us to be. Jesus called us to be countercultural, to be opposite of what our society is, calling us to walk away from the me, I, and to be able to say God, 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 God. So is being grateful, submitting ourselves to control of an outer being, or is it freedom within that? Is gratitude building me up, or is it actually submitting it to ourselves, to the God who created us? One of the keys of thankfulness and generosity is seeing that everything belongs to God. In Matthew 10, Jesus tells a story, or Mark tells a story of Jesus interacting with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says, I want to follow you, what must I do? And Jesus comes down to the thing of saying, you need to give away all that you have to the poor. And he walks away disheartened because he had so many possessions. And I think that reflects our society, that we have so much that we don't want to give that up for God, that we're not willing to give us up for God, but we want to take that on and own it for ourselves. We want to be in control of our destiny, control of our future, control of what happens around us. And being grateful and thankful steals that. We need to be strong in ourselves, society says. So where's that place for God? We need to understand that that's not the truth of this world. That we are called by God to be grateful, to be thankful, to understand that we are not an island walking through this world, but we are a part of the body of Christ. We are a part of God's body. We exist because of who God is. And we need to alter our thinking to understand that we are here because of God's love. We are here because of who Jesus is. We have this life because of the God who loves us and puts value on us. John Piper said, God wants us to grow up into mature, thoughtful, wise, humble, and thankful people, the opposite of childish. When I am ungrateful, I am selfish and immature. When I am overflowing with gratitude, I am healthy, other-oriented, servant-minded, Christ-exalting, and joyful. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is loving, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on who God is and what God's calling us to, not on what our humanity wants. Story of a wealthy family. And the father wanted to teach his son a lesson a lesson understanding the value of money, the value of wealth, the value of position, the responsibility of the position of the wealthy. And so he took his son away and they went and stayed in a poor family out in the farm so that the young bloke could see how the poor lived. He asked them after the trip, he said, "How was the trip?" And the young fellow said, "It was great, Dad." Dad said, "How did you see how the poor people live?" The son said, "Yes, I did. So tell me, what do you learn from the trip?" And the son answered, "I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have a fence around our property to protect us and they have friends to protect them." The father was speechless. And the son said, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we really are." Perspective. Our perspective. What God's teaching us, what God's leading us, is not what our society is saying. And we can't own what society tells us. We need to be going back and saying, "God, what's this life about? Who are we? What are you leading us into?" 2 Timothy 1 says, "But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." God's calling us to be gracious, to be thankful, and to pursue Him. So what stops us from thankfulness? Well, the first one is thoughtlessness. Thought and think, I read during the week, are related to the same root word. Think and thank. And it's interesting because it's like when we think about what's gone on in the past, we start to thank. If we don't think about the past, we don't have anything to thank for. But it's when we look back and say, what's happened? Who's been there? What's been involved in that? That's when we learn about thanks. And we need to take time to stop and think about what's gone on. Because thinking leads to thanking. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my innermost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You need to learn to think, to reflect, and to understand where God is in what's happened in our past. The second thing is faithlessness. Giving thanks is the spontaneous expression of genuine faith and belief in God. We give thanks because of who God is, because of what God's doing. And if we're not thinking of who God is, if we don't have faith, then we're faced with the lack of hope and the lack of the future. We're grateful because God's going to lead us into good things. That's what faith is understanding who God is, trusting who God is, and walking towards who He is, not necessarily what we see. And a gratitude is knowing that God is in control of tomorrow. The third thing is discontent. And discontent, in another way, is thanks, but. Thanks, God, but. Thank you, but. We're called to be content. And that seems like a strange word, content. But Paul talks about it a few times. He firstly talks about it with Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. "But godliness without contentment is great pain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." And Paul in Philippians, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty.
I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. We need to learn to be content in God. And it also, thankfulness will be stolen because of selfishness. There's the parable of the debtor that Jesus talked about. And the debtor in Matthew 18, but when that servant went out, he found that one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, he grabbed him and he began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. We know how that story started, with the wealthy man being forgiven. He was forgiven of his debt, and then he went out and found someone who owed him much less and demanded it. He didn't pass on the forgiveness, but he passed on the demand. And we need to learn that we can't be focused on ourselves. We can't be focused on me and my wants and what my felt needs are. We need to focus on who God is and to focus on what's the bigger picture. When we focus on myself, I end up focusing on me and I focus on my needs and my wants and we miss the picture of what's happening around us. We need to lift our eyes off ourselves and onto God. As a scholar, Matthew Henry wrote commentaries on the Bible and wrote a library of commentaries on the Bible. And he was robbed one day and he reflected on this in his diary. So it wasn't a sermon or anything, it was in his diary. And he wrote, "Let me be thankful. One, because I have never been robbed before. Two, though he took my purse, he did not take my life. Three, though he took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not someone else." And that's what gratitude is. Gratitude is being able to see God, being able to see hope, being able to see the future, being able to see good things through what would seem to be a bad day, what would be seen as a disaster. So what do we have to be grateful for? Firstly, thank you to God for his goodness. God is good. God is great. We have that foundation that can never change. God is good. In Psalm 133, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant." Psalm 34, "O touch and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." Our God is good. And our God is love. In 1 John 4:8, "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." See how that says, does not say God is loving. It says God is love. God doesn't have the action of love, but God is the essence of love. It's not just something that God does, but it's who God is. God is love. Our God is good. Our God is love. Oswald Chambers said, "God is love, not God is loving. God and his love are synonymous. Love is not an attitude of God, it is God. Whatever God is, love is. If your conception of love does not agree with justice and judgment and purity and holiness, then your idea of love is wrong." God is love. God is just. God is pure. God is holy. This is our God. We're thankful because God sent his Son. God sent his Son Jesus to live amongst us. We have a place where God came to earth to live amongst us, to show us what life is, to show us how to interact with others, how to care and how to love, to show us what love truly is. Jesus sent his Son to live amongst us. But then also Jesus came and died for us, died for you and me. God sent his Son to earth to be rejected, to be abused, to be punished because of what I've done, so that we might have life. And God sent his Son Jesus to rise from the dead to give us hope for eternity. Jesus came to earth to give us hope, to show us how to live, to die for our sins, and to lead us to the eternal home with the Father. God sent his Son Jesus because he loves us. and because He is good. We need to be thankful for God, for God's abiding presence in us. God is with us. Jesus dwells amongst us. God lives with us and walks with us and understands us and speaks with us and leads us and guides us. We're not alone. God is with us. Hebrews 13 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" We have a God that walks with us, that is present in our lives, who is present with us. And we're thankful because we're part of God's family. We're not on our own. God is with us, but we are with us. We come into the family of God, the body of Christ. We are God's children, His adopted children. God loves us so much that He enabled us to know Him, enabled us to be forgiven, enabled us to be resurrected, to be made whole, to be made holy, to be made pure. And He walks and journeys with us so that we are together His children and we will be with Him forever. That's why we're grateful. That's why we're thankful. God is God. And everything we have is because of His goodness and His greatness and because of His love. Are we grateful? Are we thankful? There's a little boy who was praying, and as he was about to pray for his meal, he looked down and he saw some things on his plate that he didn't really like. I reckon it was Brussels sprouts. And he prayed this beautiful grace: "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway. Amen." Doesn't that sum up our lives in a lot of ways? But God, I know what's ahead. And I know there's going to be days that are hard, days that hurt, days that are frustrating, days of pain. I know these things are coming. I know that there are hard times in front of me. But I know that you are good. I know that you love me. I know that Jesus has come to die for me. I know that Jesus lives with me. And I know what tomorrow brings. God, thank you that I'm not alone. That it's not all about me, but it's about us. And thank you, God, that I walk together with all of your children into a future that you're laying out before me. That's what gratitude is. Knowing our God and knowing who we are in God. So how do we become more thankful? I just want to throw out a few tips. The first one is, don't be picky. Don't be picky and say, this is what I want to be thankful for. I don't want to be just thankful for a BMW. I'm happy even if I have a Hyundai. Or a Kia, or a Daewoo. Or a Hilux. Don't be picky. Understand that God is good in all ways, in ways that we don't understand. And be thankful for all the little things. Sometimes it's really helpful just to count the small things. To be able to stand outside in the sunshine and be able to feel the sun warming our bodies, that's such a beautiful thing. Thankful and grateful for the small things, not just the big fancy bits. To find gratitude in our challenges. Would we be the people we are today without the challenges that we've had in our life? Would we even know God without the challenges in our life? It's easy to look back a long way and say, I'm grateful, sort of. But can we be grateful in the hard times today or tomorrow? We're grateful in our challenges because we're grateful for what God will do. Because what will God will do in us? What will God do through us? Remember what our future is and who God is, and to be grateful that in these challenges, God is present. In these challenges, Jesus gets it.
And in the challenges, we have people and God around us to support us so that we can get through these challenges. Remind ourselves of what God's doing. Take some time to speak out and to say to ourselves the things that we're grateful for. If we just say, yes, I'm grateful, let's move on, then are we truly grateful? But when we look at it and ponder those things we're grateful for, we remind ourselves of the good things in our life. And we need to remind ourselves and to constantly remind ourselves to be thankful and to be grateful. One of the ways of doing that is to have a journal, a gratitude journal. And just to have a journal that we can create and write down the things that we're thankful for. When we write them down, we keep a collection of them and we can remember, because we've written them down, far more than just thinking them, far more than not actually thinking at all. So having a journal can be helpful. Helping others. Sounds strange. How to be grateful? Help others. There was Professor Martin Seligman that supports the theory. He did research in flourishing, a visionary new understanding of happiness and well-being. Did all this research with all kinds of variables that help improve our well-being, and he found that volunteering is the single most reliable way of momentarily increasing our well-being. What it's saying is that we find thankfulness in who we are, gratitude in who we are, happiness in who we are, by helping others. And sometimes we can devalue what it's like to help others, but helping others actually helps ourselves. To get out of ourselves and to help others encourages and helps us to be thankful. Express yourself. As I said before about thinking and thanking, how do we go about talking about being thankful? We can write a letter, and I encourage you to be able to sit back and say, who are the people who have influenced me and impacted me over the last months, years, decades? And to be able to write a letter or something to them just saying, thanks. There's research done as well, and they were looking at the science of happiness. They found out that an exercise of writing a letter of thankfulness can increase your happiness from 2% to 4%. But what they also found out is that if you make a phone call or express it personally to someone else, your happiness levels jumped from 4% to 19%. Being able to call someone up and say, hey, I was just thinking of you, and I remember that this happened, and in this happening, I was encouraged, I was strengthened, I was whatever. But that thankfulness of ringing up and saying thankful to someone, saying thanks to someone, actually empowered you and led you to be able to be more thankful and more strong in yourself. Spend time with loved ones. Spend time with those who are going to be encouraging and supporting of you. And learn ways of bringing out the best in those around you as well. This is one of my favourite ones, a gratitude rock. May not make much sense, but just find a little rock and toss it in your pocket. Now, whenever you put your hands in your pocket, which in Queensland winter you do a lot, and you feel that rock, just remember to be grateful. What are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? Sitting at your desk, just put this rock next to you. When you look at it, what am I thankful for? It's not really about the rock. It's about having a trigger. What's a thankfulness trigger? I have different things in my phone which bleep, which people know me, my phone goes off here and there. And I've got these little triggers. Pray for this, be thankful for that. And in my phone, I've got little triggers that remind me to pray or to be thankful, whatever it is. How can it work for you? What would a trigger be for you? To remind us to be grateful, to remind us to be thankful. It's not really about the rock, it's about a trigger. And the last thing I want to say is about gratitude prompts. Sometimes we need a prompt to be grateful, to learn how to be grateful. And we're going to do this in a moment. But just little words or thoughts that enable us to be able to ponder of how can I be grateful in many different ways. How can I be thankful to God and to thankful to others and those around me? We're about to do that. But before I do that, what I want to do is to say I've given everyone homework, because there's not enough homework in this world. So it's written in the bulletin, so if you didn't get a bulletin, grab one. If you got your internet, the email bulletin, it's in there.
And what you've got is homework to do. And the homework starts today because I have high expectations. And yes, there is an exam. What I want you to do is today, aim to thank someone for something that they've done recently. Thank someone for what they've done in the past. For example, spoke into your life at a critical moment, called you at a significant time. Number three, write down something that you are thankful today, a thankful moment. And number four, spend 1 minute thanking God for what he has done in your life. Pretty tough homework. Thank someone for what they've done recently. Think back, someone who's done something good in your past. A thankful moment, what you're thankful for at the moment. And a minute thanking God for who he is and what he's done. That's today. Tomorrow, find two people to thank, write another thankful moment, and spend 2 minutes with God. Tuesday, I think you see where this is going, find more people, more thankful moments, and 3 minutes with God. Wednesday and following, continue to build it up. Find new ways of thanking people. What we're doing, what I want you to do is to create habits. Because we create habits. Habits of picking our nose. Habits of leaving our socks on the floor in the bedroom. Habits of not putting dishes in the dishwasher. I'm on my own again. We create bad habits. But how do we create good habits? What I want us to do is to create good habits. Habits of thanking others, habits of thanking God, habits of thinking thankful moments, of thankful memories, to learn to have a habit of gratitude in our lives. You don't have to do the homework. You might fail the test. But it's there to help us. And the whole intention is to help us. So take that as you want. As I said before, this is our thankfulness Sunday, our thankful Sunday. And we have things that we're thankful for. And what we've created is a space for you now. This isn't about me or Janelle or whatever. This is about you and God. And this is a time for you to be able to sit with God. What we've asked you to do is to write some notes about things that you're thankful for. And in a moment, we're going to show a clip and ask you just to come up and put them wherever up here. It doesn't have to go anywhere. If you've got some money that you want to donate to what we talked about before, there's some red boxes to pop it into. If you have some stuff for the shack, then leave that up there as well. We'll deal with it later. If you want to bring that in during the week, that's fine. We can deal with that. It's not too late. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is to show a video. And one of the things that we talked about was gratitude prompts. And so what we're going to do is just to have words up there to prompt thoughts. So as that's going through, feel free to come up afterward. You know, if you don't make it in time, you're a little bit naughty, but that's okay, we'll give you space. Just to take it in your own time. But as these words come up on the screen, what do these words prompt you to be grateful for? What thoughts and what memories are they triggering to be grateful to God for, God or others? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you that you are who you are, that you are a good, good God, that you are a God of love, that you sent your Son. Thank you that you abide with us, you're present with us, and thank you that you have put people around us, our family around us, to love us and care for us. Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you showed your love through Jesus' death. Thank you that you are God and we are your people. And we can celebrate who you are and celebrate what you've done because you are deserving of all praise and all worship. And Father, we thank you. We are so grateful for everything that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.